Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Matthew 6:7. Hi, I'm Rob West. Fortunately, Jesus didn't stop there. He goes on to give us the Lord's Prayer as the way we should bring our needs to God. But do we sometimes skim over part of it, the part about provision? I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I want to talk about the place in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11, where Jesus instructs his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a very important verse that we tend to take for granted, but we shouldn't. Jesus is teaching his disciples and us that God is our provider, and we're to ask him to provide for our needs. And the most basic physical need is food. Our friend Pastor David Platt has written about this, reminding us that the verse is intended to destroy our pride. How often do we ask God to provide us with the food and water that we'll need today, and to thank him for doing so, especially these days when prices are so high? When we say those words in the Lord's Prayer, do we really mean them? I think sometimes we're just reciting words because we forget that only God can provide us with the food and water we need to survive. He, of course, owns everything. We may think that our actions, earning and saving money, provide those things, but that's never the case. Even our ability to earn money comes from God. We're only reminded that God is our real provider when we sense that those things are about to be taken from us, and we begin to feel hunger and thirst. But this is about more than making money to buy food. We hunger for many other things in this world: peace, love, purpose, healthy relationships, you name it. The Lord's Prayer is an example of how we should pray for all of those things. Jesus wants us to go before our Holy Father in prayer and ask for everything we need, humbly admitting that only he can provide them. "Give us this day our daily bread" probably had more immediate importance 2,000 years ago, when famine was always a real possibility. It may seem like an odd request to us because we live in the richest nation in history. Most of us, with some exceptions, never worry about where our next meal is coming from. It seems especially odd when many of us actually need less food, not more. But it's still important to pray for God's daily provision, even in America, because that prayer will keep you from thinking you can provide for your daily needs without God. In other words, it's a bulwark against prideful thinking that we or the things of this world provide what we need. Jesus knew that we're prone to that kind of thinking. That's why those words are in the Lord's Prayer, and that's why we should take them seriously. All this really shows how dangerous materialism can be. We should take a hard look at how much we're conforming to disturbing trends in Western Christianity. Maybe we really believe we can sustain our lives all on our own, without God, and that's a reason that many of us are so casual about prayer in general. In addition to warning about pride, Jesus is also telling us that our Father in heaven wants to give us every good and perfect gift. A few verses later in Matthew 6, he tells his disciples, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What that means is we really don't need to worry about bread or water or money. We need God, and prayer reminds us of that, and of God's promise that he'll provide all of those things. In his article about this, David Platt goes on to say that in today's wealthy culture, we should ask God to deliver us from what he calls self-sustaining Christian lives. We must acknowledge daily that we can't sustain ourselves. Of course, with every believer, that begins by admitting that we need Christ as our Savior. But it must also extend into every area of our lives, that we need God to sustain us with even our most basic needs. And that's how we can avoid the pride that comes from materialism. No matter how much money we make, how big a house we live in, or how fancy the car we drive, we don't really need those things. We only need God. So when we say those words, "Give us this day our daily bread," we need to really mean them and thank God for providing it. Oh, and one more thing. We can show our thankfulness through generosity. giving breaks the power that money has over us and demonstrates our faith that God will meet our needs. All right, your calls are next on these Bible verses or anything else financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. Most Christians who say they follow Christ have never shared the gospel with another person. Never. So what do you do with what the Bible says you're to do? Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of every nation. Toss that one out. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you are Christ's ambassador. Ignore that. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, be salt and light in the world. Toss that one too. I can almost hear you saying, I get it. You're exaggerating to make a point. Well, perhaps so. But James 1:22 said it long before I came along. He said, don't just listen to the word, do what it says. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. Get help sharing your faith at igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you as we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices today. All right, we're going to begin in Orlando, Florida today. Milton will be our first caller. Milton, you go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Rob. God bless.
Thank you, sir.
And actually, my number shows in Orlando, but that's my cell phone. I'm in actually in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Very good. How can I help you?
Yes, I would like to know if it's worth it to invest on the 401k when the company doesn't have any match. I saw on one of those Susie Orman's programs that she was saying that it is only worth it to invest on the 401k up to the match and no more after that. Yes. So I was wondering, if the company doesn't have any matching, is it still worth to put money into it?
Yes, I would tend to agree with that. I think you absolutely want to start up to the matching portion in your 401k. I prefer the Roth IRA, especially for someone who's younger, has time on their side, and those dollars could go in after tax and then grow tax-free between that point and retirement. The challenge is you can only put in $6,000 in a Roth IRA in a calendar year, and then if you're over 50, you can add another $1,000 to it. So that's $7,000. And in order to be able to save 10 to 15% of your income for retirement, you're going to reach that max and then probably have more that you want to put away. So my typical default approach for somebody, again, who has quite a bit of time between now and retirement would be to say, let's start with the 401k up to the match. In your case, you don't have that. So let's go to the Roth IRA. We can put in $6,000 or $7,000 per person per year. So if you're married, you could put in $12,000 or $14,000 through a spousal IRA in addition to your own. And then perhaps at that point, go back to the 401k to get up to the percentage target you're looking for so you have enough going into retirement savings each year. The nice thing about having both options, Milton, is that you will have both the tax-deferred and the tax-free buckets available in retirement. So depending on what's going on with the tax code and which one is more financially prudent to draw from, you'll be able to take your choice between the tax-deferred option and the tax-free, which is a nice option to have, given that we don't know what things will look like, you know, decades down the road. Does all that make sense, though?
So you're basically saying that put most of my money into a Roth, and then whatever I got left, to put it into the 401k, although there is no match?
Yes, sir, because we want is the target to put aside for retirement. And this is just a rule of thumb. It's better to do some real financial planning with a financial planner to determine exactly how much you need to be saving for what you're ultimately trying to accumulate to be able to provide for your needs in retirement alongside Social Security. But a target rule of thumb might be 10 to 15% of your income. And in order to do that, most folks will max out that Roth IRA and still want to put more away. And that's where you would then go back to the 401k and do your additional retirement contributions there alongside the Roth IRA. Do you follow?
All right. Sounds great. Yeah, sounds great.
Okay.
Do I have time for one more question?
Yes, sir. Very quickly. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was checking on some of the bank institutions and the website bankrate.com.
Yes, sir.
And they have some pretty attractive rates. Like some of them have like over 3.5%, but some of those institutions, I never heard of them. Can you trust the institution on that website to put your money in?
Yeah. Are you looking at online banks primarily, Milton?
Correct. Yes. I see one here, like an upgrade, a bank that comes upgrade like 3.5%. That's pretty good, but can you trust that bank?
Yeah. Well, I think the key is, number one, in terms of the safety of the money, you'd want to look for that FDIC coverage. If there's FDIC insurance on that account, then at the end of the day, I would feel comfortable with that. But you've got to look beyond that to say, what are they known for in terms of customer service? How responsive are they? Are you able to get through on the phone or online? If this is an online bank, there's no brick and mortar branch you can walk into. The service side is a factor in addition to the rate. But at the end of the day, the FDIC insurance is the primary component. So what I would do is I'd start by searching for which online banks have the most attractive rates. Then I would look for reviews on their service, but I would ensure that no matter who I did business with, it had FDIC insurance. Okay?
Okay, so the reviews, sometimes they show up with the stars on the actual website.
That's right.
So if they have no stars, that means that there's no reviews. Okay.
Yeah, I would look for something that has a good number of reviews, and I would look for something that has at least 4 or 5 stars. Here's the thing. The difference in the rates from those banks you may have never heard of versus ones that are a little bit more established is going to be pretty small in the online banking world. So, for instance, Marcus, that's the retail outfit of Goldman Sachs, a massive financial institution. Ally Bank, they're known for their customer service. Capital One 360, they're one of the biggest in the country. You know, all of these are going to have very competitive rates. Now, you may be able to get 5 or 10 basis points more from an online bank you've never heard of, but it might be worth it to settle for just slightly less, but to go with an organization, a financial institution that's known for a bit more service, perhaps has been a bit more established. That's where these ratings can come in, and you can look at other reviews beyond that. All right?
Yeah, I think I wrote the 3 ones. Capital One 360, Marcus, and what was the other one?
The last one was Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y, and you could certainly go to bankrate.com and see if there's better options out there, but those three are both, you know, all three online options that have very attractive rates, and they have, you know, strong financial strength as institutions, and you know, they're known for their customer service, and I think that's another piece of this that you ought to consider as you make your final decision.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Rob.
All right. Yes, sir, Milton. Thank you for your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000. Before we take our first break here today, an email from Elizabeth. She writes, "My husband's interested in investing in gold and silver. I'd like to buy him some for his birthday. I only have about $100 to $200 to spend. The price of gold is so high. Is it worth getting gold, or would you recommend just going with silver or something else?" And it's a great question, Elizabeth. You know, with the spot price of gold, as you alluded to, around $1,750 an ounce, it's going to be difficult to find a gold coin that you can buy for a couple of $100. On the other hand, you could buy several silver coins for that amount, or even $100. The American Silver Eagles are selling for about $31 a piece. Or if your husband, if you wanted to give him a silver bar, a 1 ounce silver bar is selling for around $27, 5 ounces for $133. So that could be an option, kind of a nice, maybe unexpected gift that he might appreciate, but you will have trouble doing that in gold. You'll probably need to look to one of the other precious metals. We appreciate you writing to us, Elizabeth. If you have a question you'd like read on the air, you can send it to us at questions@moneywise.com. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, more of your questions. We've got some lines open. Our team's standing by. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Take your calls and questions today on anything financial. Looks like we have a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go to North Carolina. Diane, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. You're hearing me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I work for the government, and as a supplement to our retirement, we get a thrift savings plan account.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm almost 70, and it's my understanding that between now and 72 or less amount of time, I have to roll that over into another vehicle of savings.
You're allowed to leave that in the TSP if you'd like, and your required minimum would kick in at age 72, Diane. And you have a provision inside the TSP, which is actually unlike other retirement plans. It's called a still working provision, where you are not required to take that required minimum. If that money remains in the TSP, you're still working, you're able to delay that required minimum until you stop working.
I've recently been told that TSP accounts are not FDIC insured any longer. Do you know if that is correct?
Well, they wouldn't have been FDIC insured. That's for FDIC insured banks or savings associations. So a TSP account would not be protected under FDIC. It would be protected under, well, in this case, it's a retirement account. So there's other tax codes that offer protection there, but not FDIC. And that wouldn't be a change. That would be the way it has always been.
So then I can feel safe that my TSP account is safe.
Yeah, it's absolutely backed by the government, so you wouldn't have to worry about that. So I think at this point, you know, you need to be looking at what are the investments that you're selecting inside the TSP, what are the right sub-accounts for you to have at your age and based on your goals and objectives, and, you know, not taking unnecessary risk to preserve what you have, to grow it modestly, so that when you need to rely on it as perhaps a supplemental income source, it'll be there. At that point, once you stop working, you could roll it over to an IRA, and then you would begin taking your required minimum distributions at that point.
So I'm invested in the G fund, and it seems to lose money a lot compared to the other funds, more so.
Yeah. So are you 100% in the G fund?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the G Fund is the government fund. And, you know, just given where things are with rising interest rates, the government securities can lose value. They won't lose much. But, you know, you can see a decline, a very minor decline in that over time. But it's relatively safe given everything that's going on in the market right now versus a stock fund. I think the key for you is, you know, especially with inflation right now, you probably want to look at what is the right mix of investments in order to offset that, especially as this market recovers. We've seen a lot of strength recently. That doesn't mean we may not retest our lows. We absolutely could. But I think the idea is I would probably want some allocation to stocks, could be 20-30%, which gives you the ability to allow this portfolio to have a growth component. So as the market recovers, you could participate. But that G Fund is going to be fairly stable, although there's just not going to be a whole lot in the way of returns over time.
That's encouraging. Another question, have you ever, which I'm sure you have, heard of a self-directed IRA?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so self-directed IRA allows you to invest in alternative investments. So the most common use of a self-directed IRA, although there's certainly many others, would be for real estate. So you have the ability to leave your retirement funds in a tax-deferred environment and yet direct them to other asset classes like real estate, or could be oil and gas royalties, could be any number of things that allows you to participate in the growth of that asset without having to take a distribution and creating a taxable event. The key is you'd have to find a self-directed IRA custodian. Not all brokerage institutions handle self-directed IRAs, so you'll want to find a custodian that specializes in self-directed IRAs if that's what you're looking for. I think the key, though, is as long as you're continuing to work for the federal government, if you don't want to take those required minimums, you need to leave that money in the TSP.
So then I was looking at Strata Trust Company. Have you heard of them?
I have, but I wouldn't be able to weigh in on any particular companies. I think the key for you is to do your research and just kind of read a lot of reviews and see what information you can find on these as you compare your options. You know, at the end of the day, it could be a great option for you depending on what you're looking to invest in. As long as it fits with your time horizon, your goals and objectives, a self-directed IRA can be a very effective tool. So hope that helps you, Diane. We appreciate you checking in with us. May God bless you and call us back anytime. Let's stay in North Carolina. I believe, is it Gammy? How can I help you?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling on behalf of my sister that somebody some time ago hacked her account and took about $18,000 from her account. Now, she's a traveling nurse living in Mexico, but she has an account here in an American bank. I don't want to name a name or nothing like that. And this bank has offered to replace $14,000 of that money, some sort of credit system they're going to use. So we're wondering is what's going to happen to the rest of that money? Nobody seems to be able to answer a good answer.
I'd love to weigh in on that. I've got to take a quick break. You stay right there and we'll tackle this one right on the other side. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program.
Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. Just before the break, we were talking to Gammy about, unfortunately, a family member who had had funds stolen through identity theft or fraud related to a loss in their bank account, wanted to know why the bank wasn't refunding all of the money. And, you know, here's the key. This is not protected by FDIC. This would be up to the bank to refund. Most banks do refund losses that are due to fraud or identity theft. The key is you have to report it on a timely basis. If it's reported on a timely basis, and then normally you would be asked to fill out an affidavit describing the events and verifying that it was not you that took the fraudulent transactions, whether they were fraudulent checks that were cashed or this was done electronically. Once that's done, and again, if it's reported on a timely basis, most banks will refund you in the entirety. If they don't, they may be in violation of what's called the Electronic Fund Transfer Act, if in fact it was through electronic means. But again, it's going to come down to the timeliness of how this was reported. So I would work through your bank to provide all the necessary documentation to let them know that you did not initiate these transactions. Hopefully it was done, identified and reported quickly. And if so, and you complete the proper paperwork, I would hope that they would make you whole on that. If they do not, you have a couple of options. One would be to engage the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, at cfpb.gov. You could also engage an attorney. Often a letter from an attorney will be enough to get a bank to take action, especially if you can, and they, I suspect, through their own investigations, will verify this was not you that did the transaction. This is becoming a bigger and bigger problem every year. The FTC reports that 4.2 million customer fraud and identity theft reports came in that year alone. The losses, nearly $6 billion. So this is happening all the time, and the key is to monitor your accounts closely, monitor your credit report closely, and make sure you identify these fraudulent transactions on a timely basis. And a reputable bank should make you whole in just about every situation. We appreciate your call, Gammy. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's see, to Louisiana. Hey, Kathy, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, my question is, my husband and I were self-employed most of our lives, and we just saved money like for our retirement. So we put some money in IRAs, but we didn't. Outside of the IRAs, we saved money that we were wanting to use for retirement. But my husband was always very cautious about, he was always concerned about putting it like in mutual funds or something like that, because he was worried that, you know, we wouldn't have the money when we needed it. So mostly what we did is just put money in the bank to get the interest rates in the bank.
Yes.
And you know, that I've heard that that's not a good idea because the money is not keeping up with inflation.
That's right.
And I wanted to, and then we had accounts like in different institutions, like our IRAs were in one institution and some money was in other, you know, brokerage firms. I also had heard that it was not a good idea to do that. It was better to keep it like all in one place.
Sure. Let me ask you, how much do you all have in the way of investable assets right now, Kathy, roughly?
It's probably over 500,000.
Okay. And have you always handled this yourself, just you and your husband?
Yes.
Okay.
We had it. The IRAs are like in a brokerage firm, and
sure.
And we had some of the money like in managed portfolio accounts, like with Vanguard and stuff. But
Well, here's my recommendation. I think you're right in the sense that you would be well served to consolidate a lot of this. You know, having multiple accounts at various financial institutions, whether that's brokerages and banks, just creates more complexity vis-a-vis the conversation we had just a moment ago with Gammy in terms of fraudulent transactions. That's just, you know, more accounts you're going to have to stay on top of to make sure none of those are ever compromised. And I think the idea here is that you all have been diligent in your savings. That's great. Clearly, you've had a modest lifestyle. You've had margin, and you put that aside. Now, in this season of life, I think what's important is that you have a strategy to manage this in a way that makes sense. Overcome the effects of inflation, which is more important now than ever, to protect the assets that you've accumulated and to grow them at a reasonable rate so that if you need to live on them and convert that to an income stream, you have the ability to do that without depleting it. Or if you want to just let it continue to grow and have it available if you needed it for long-term care insurance, long-term care, which could run, you know, $4,000 to $8,000 a month, depending on what type of care you need at some point. And, you know, by the way, 70% of Americans 65 and older will need that sort of care for at least 18 months to 3 years. And it can be very expensive. So I think having a plan to manage this makes a lot of sense. Now, it doesn't mean you need to take unnecessary risk. But I think working with an advisor who could give you an overall strategy to say how much of this should be protected in bank products like, you know, CDs and money markets where it's very stable, how much should be in bonds, fixed income, you know, type government bonds, or maybe even very high quality short-term duration corporate bonds, and how much should be in stocks, whether that's individual stocks or through mutual funds. And that then is a coordinated strategy that's looking to the long term. Because remember, even in retirement, if the Lord tarries and you guys are in good health, you're going to need this money to last potentially for couple of decades or more. And if that's the case, we want to have it growing. We want to protect what you've got, and we want the ability for it to become an income stream. For that reason, Kathy, my recommendation would be that you recognize this is a big responsibility and it's a lot of money. So I'd hire an investment advisor after you interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit to actually help you develop and deploy and then oversee an investment strategy that makes sense for you and consolidate this into just one or two financial institutions with a high quality brokerage firm like a Fidelity or a Schwab or a TD Ameritrade, but where there's an advisor making those buy and sell decisions for you with, of course, your goals and objectives in mind. Does that make sense?
Yes. The only thing is that I kind of wanted to find, and I see that you advertise finding a
certified kingdom advisor. Yep. On our website at moneywise.org, just click find a CKA. Let me do this. I've got to take a break here, but it sounds like you have just a little bit more you want to talk about. So let's do that offline. But again, to find a CKA, just head to moneywise.org and click the button, find a CKA. We'll be right back with more questions on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Leave your message after the beep. At one point, many people had never heard this statement, but answering machines changed the world. Phone tag was easier to play. And even if we weren't home, our friends and family could still leave a message for us, and vice versa. And with smartphones, leaving messages is easier than ever. But most of our messages aren't nearly as important as the one we read about in Psalm 40. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. The psalmist had a very clear message. The Lord had saved him, and he couldn't keep quiet about it. This same God has saved us in Jesus Christ. Are you sharing the message? Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. All the lines are full, so let's head right back to the phones and welcome Evelyn to the broadcast in Mississippi. Hi there. How can I help you?
Hi. I have about $600 cash. I know that's a small amount compared to what most people are calling you about. I am in a nursing home. I have a niece who handles my affairs now as my POA. And she found out that a small fee was being charged to my account, which is a checking account, because I have an account with a debit card, and they have a small fee that's charged every month. So she decided, without asking, to just close the account. So right now I have 600, a little over that, close to 7. But I need to find a place to put it where it's available whenever we need a few dollars. And possibly can get some kind of interest.
Yeah. Very good. And, you know, I think the key here, Evelyn, and I appreciate your call so much, and we certainly want to help you be a good steward of that $600. So you've got it protected. You can earn a little bit of interest, not see it decline with a lot of fees, but still, you know, have a debit card or something that you can use when you need it. If you're comfortable transacting business online, or perhaps she could help you do that, the best place for you to go would be to open a checking account with one of the online banks. And the only reason I say that, as much as I'd like for you to have a brick and mortar bank that you can walk into, is because with that smaller amount of money, generally you will have fees on those accounts that's going to eat away at that over time. You'll avoid that with most of the online banks like Ally or Marcus or Capital One 360. So that would be my preferred option. Perhaps she could help you set that up, get the money deposited, get the debit card sent to you, and then help you manage it if you're not comfortable with doing that online. But I think that's going to give you the ability to earn a little bit of interest, avoid any fees, and still have the money protected in an FDIC-insured bank, but also to know that you've got access to it through the debit card. So I would just mention that to her. You could have her go to bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com to look at the various online banks that might be available for you, and have her pick one that would be a good fit, set that up for you, and get your debit card sent to you in the mail. So I think that's going to be your next best option, Evelyn. We appreciate so much you calling today. May God bless you in the days ahead. Before we head back to the our final calls today, it's Friday, which means our friend Jerry Boyer stops by with his market commentary. Jerry's president of Boyer Research. Jerry, delighted to have you with us today on a really strong week led by, I guess, the election and the inflation data. What say you?
Led by the inflation data, which is kind of reversed a lot of things that were trades that were going on after the election. And that tells you how quickly the market can turn on a dime. So
right.
When the elections were underperformers in terms of the expectations for Republicans, the market reaction was gold went up, the dollar went down, inflation hedges went up, and generally, there was a shift out of growth-oriented or growth-dependent investments into safer, less growth-dependent, right? So stocks went down, and people took their money out of stocks and put it into bonds. And there was a shift from cyclicals, which tend to be cyclical. They tend to, you know, depend on growth, you know, to non-cyclicals, or from consumer discretionary to, you know, to consumer staples. In other words, consumer discretionary is growth sensitive. You know,
sure.
you might not buy a boat, but if you have babies, you're going to buy diapers.
That's right.
And so all of the trades in response to the election were growth is going to be less good than we expected it to be, because we're not getting the pro-growth, what the markets were thinking was pro-growth political shift. All right. So that's the story the first half of the week. And then yesterday, we get the new inflation numbers, and this shows how incredibly powerful the Fed is as a institution, as the largest investor in the world, because there was no real shift in expectations about what the Fed will do based on the election. The interest rate shifts were minor, but there was a huge shift in expectations about what the Fed will do in response to inflation. Because if the Fed doesn't want to ride the brake pedal, the Fed doesn't want to pull money out of the system. They don't want to have people arguing with them at parties. They don't want to end the party. They don't want to slow down the economy. They don't want to impose pain, but they feel like they have to fight inflation.
Yeah.
But if inflation is not as high as people thought, then maybe the Fed can lighten up a little bit. And what that meant is all of those trades reversed, except the inflation trades. So for the week, the one consistent theme is gold liked it, dollar didn't. The inflation trades, you know, were kind of consistent with both stories, but the growth trade reversed. And it reversed enough to change the story of the week. In other words, the effect of believing that there's going to be a shift in Fed policy was bigger than the effect of maybe Republicans not taking the House and definitely not taking the Senate. That's how important our central bank is now.
Wow.
That news that it is reacting to is bigger in – there's a bigger in magnitude effect on markets than an unexpected electoral outcome.
Yeah.
So that's
which
kind
is
of amazing.
A bit hard to believe. Yeah, absolutely, Jerry. So if that is in fact the case, and we see this trend continue with inflation moderating and falling, and in fact that results in a vocal Fed that is taking their foot off the gas pedal, could the bottom be in on this thing?
Yeah, that's absolutely a possibility because, as you know, we've been talking about this a few months. I have been expecting inflation to fall. That's still high, by the way.
Yeah.
So when the president comes out and says, well, things are getting better, it's like, well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, 9.5% inflation is like 2.5 standard deviations. It's
right.
Terrible, right? Okay, so 7.3% inflation, it's better, but it's still really bad compared to history. So
yes.
I just want to be clear when I say that inflation is moderating, we're going from very, very bad to very bad.
Right.
But the market has to, you know, take into account that new data. And
yes.
We already had a faction appear on the Fed that was saying, we want to go back to easy money. You know, we're not worried about inflation. We're worried about a recession. The Fed was already starting to show ideological divisions. So yesterday's lower, but not low, inflation number was seen as giving them ammunition. So there is a big shift in what we expect from the Fed in the future. The markets now do not expect the big rate increases. Don't expect them to go on as long. That's new money into the system. The Fed creates money out of thin air and then buys investments with it. So yeah, that drives up asset prices. Some people call that the Fed put. I don't really like that technical or insider language. All it means is if the central bank thinks that they've done enough to fight inflation, then they can go back in there and be buyers in the market rather than sellers. And if they're buyers, asset prices go up.
Yes. Very good, Jerry. Well, obviously, that's something we'll continue to watch, both the narrative and the data. Just quickly, before we wrap up today, a lot going on in the crypto markets, huge sell-offs. One of the crypto exchanges files for bankruptcy. Are you surprised to see any of this?
No. I was going to mention that crypto is the one, quote-unquote, inflation hedge that did badly this week.
Yeah.
And that actually makes sense. Because I think the perception is between the Democrats and the Republicans, the Democrats are more likely to regulate crypto. So crypto sold off with those election results. But on the other hand, it's not about the election. There was a fundamental instability problem to begin with. And it was that basically crypto is trying to create a whole alternate financial system and a whole alternate banking system. The problem is the other alternate banking system has bailouts. They get bailouts from the federal government. Deposits are insured. There's all these institutions in place, government institutions, that when the banking system gets over leveraged, there are ways that they get bailed out by the government. When the crypto system gets over leveraged, they kind of are acting like the banking system. It's just like a crypto banking system, but they don't have all those subsidies and backstops and, you know, and capital requirements and all the stuff that protects the banking system. So that kind of makes the crypto market more brittle. And I think that's what we're seeing now. It's just like in the Sermon on the Mount. If something is built on stone versus built on sand, when the storm comes, that reveals the fundamental instability. And the crypto ecosystem had developed some fundamental instability problems, and we just needed the storm to come along. And, you know, the Fed tightening is part of that storm, and then the electoral results are another part of that storm. And it was over-leveraged to begin with, and we're seeing that sector getting hit very hard.
Very hard. Yeah, fascinating, Jerry. Well, there's so much more we could talk about there. We'll have to leave it there for today. Thanks for stopping by, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure. God bless.
All right. God bless you, buddy. Keith, Carolyn, Elijah, so sorry we didn't get to your questions today. If you want to hold the line, our team will get your information. We'll see if we can get you back in on Monday, and we'd love to tackle your questions, so you all stay right there. Folks, we covered a lot of ground today. You know, here's the bottom line. As we hear from Jerry and look at what's happening in the markets, and we think about how we put our money to work in the banks, and we manage our retirements and try to pay down debt, at the end of the day, we have to recognize realize that the resources we have been entrusted to us by the creator of the universe. They belong to God. We then are tasked as stewards to be found faithful in managing those resources, which means in order to be an effective steward, you have to know the heart of the master. What would he like to accomplish, and how can I use money to do that? Well, we've got to go back to God's Word to renew our minds with Scripture to be able to determine what's on God's heart and how can I be a faithful steward. We do that together on this program each morning. We're so delighted you joined us today. I want to say thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick. Grateful for Pat Montague as well. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.